it's over now. The dawn is drawing very nigh. Let's creep away from the day and allow me to say goodbye.
This is Natalie, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Do you like art, Natalie?
Yes.
Do you love art?
Yeah!
Wednesday to everybody. Hey, this is Maria Vasquez Boyd on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and you're tuned into Art Speak Radio, so thanks so much for doing that for us and doing that for yourself, or listening to us online at kkfi.org. Thanks so much. With you here every Wednesday, noon to 1, and this week we have a room full of guests. We always try to keep it pretty packed with creative people here because, you know, Kansas City is about that. Today we have Poppy DeCandeloro, Sarah Beck, Bridget Kammer, and Shauna Jernigan. They're here in the studio to talk about what's happening artistically and creatively in the Kansas City area. So we're going to get started with Poppy, and she's going to talk about the 10th annual Expressions Art Exhibit, and that's for the whole person. The whole person is a nonprofit organization in Kansas City that assists people with disabilities to live independently. They've been in Kansas City for over 41 years, and they serve both people in both Kansas and Missouri. And the whole person's mission is to help connect people with disabilities to the resources they need by supporting independent choice and advocating for positive change in the community. So from Poppy, we're going to hear about the 10th Annual Expressions Art Exhibit. Welcome.
Hello, Maria. Thank you very much for having me today.
Yeah, it's great to meet you.
And, nice to meet you, too.
Excuse me. So the art exhibit is going to showcase artists with disabilities celebrating their abilities and unique talents, right?
That is correct. Every year, this has been, as you mentioned, this is going on the 10th year, mm-hmm. Starting in the spring. But the Expressions Exhibition is a program within the Whole Person that highlights artists with disabilities, the artwork that they create. Mm-hmm. And I know when it first started out, it was more of a craft show with a little bit of art, and it has transitioned over the years into a fully functioning art exhibition. And it travels around different galleries, institutions throughout the Kansas City metro, and also on the Kansas side. We do a lot of work in the Johnson County area.
That's great.
Yes.
That's great.
We also provide... part of what the program does is provides gallery space and professional development opportunities to artists with disabilities. The program helps artists build skills needed to independently create and show their works within the community. That is something that over the course of the last year, we have worked very much on workshops through different art organizations throughout the Kansas City area, working on how to talk about their art, how to write artist statements, and things like that.
Yeah, that's really important stuff to know as an artist. Yes. And I do want to mention that Poppy is chair of the Expression Art Exhibition, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Yes, I am. And the Expressions Exhibition is a juried exhibition. We do have a call for art out right now. And you can find more information about this at www.thewholeperson.org. I would encourage you to look at the website.
Oh, great.
And artists, something that I think is neat to discuss here, too, is that artists selected to participate in the traveling exhibition do receive an honorarium.
Oh, great. Oh, good. Yes. Yeah, that's always helpful as artists. Yeah.
It is. And one of the workshops we would like to provide this year has to do with how to add hanging implements and framing your artwork, and the honorarium in part goes towards the framing and hanging.
Oh, good. And also what I read is that the accessibility options at the event include large print and braille event programs and volunteer guides for descriptive audio tours, sign language interpreters, and accessible entrances, right?
That is correct, yes. Also, in our current show, we have two pieces of art that we encourage viewers to touch. So we have two sculptures in the show right now, and sometimes we have paintings that that the viewers are allowed to touch as well, also adding to that element of contact.
Oh, and, good, yes. Good. Yeah. You know, so you talked about this is a juried exhibition.
Yes.
How do artists apply, and what sort of artwork are you looking for? What sort of mediums?
So artists can find our application online at The Whole Person, which I can repeat again. The website is www.thewholeperson.org. And underneath the expressions section of the website is where they will find the application. We are looking for paintings, drawings, multimedia works, spoken word. We would love to have performance art. If there is anyone out there willing to submit a performance piece,
yeah,
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, the the longevity or the way that the Expressions Exhibition has transitioned over time, we're getting more multimedia pieces of artwork. But yes, performance art would be amazing to have.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, visual art, and that would also include graphic design, illustration, jewelry?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Performance art, dance, music, theater, spoken word. Or if there's something on this list that doesn't fit that particular artist, would you consider something else that they might have in mind?
Oftentimes, individuals will email us and ask.
Okay.
And that is, we welcome that also. Yes.
Terrific. Now, how long do they have? How long do the artists have for submissions? When do you close the submissions?
The deadline is January 19th.
Oh, tick-tock.
It is, yes. And we will be selecting the works of art, I believe, towards the end of January.
Okay.
Yes. I would like to, if I may, just say that we are super excited and honored this year to be the recipient of the Arts KC Unity Award.
Terrific, great.
Yes, and that award is an award that recognizes an outstanding business or nonprofit for connecting regional arts and culture to community life through unique programming and measurable social impact. So this has been, we have a really wonderful committee for Expressions. Everyone is involved in the arts. Mm-hmm. They're either artists or curators or write about art in the Kansas City community. So this was a really exciting
No kidding, yeah. Congratulations.
Yes.
You know, and I do want to mention that the Expressions call for artist applications are open, but you have to be at least 18 years of age. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And the deadline to apply is January 19th of 2020. And for more information, thewholeperson.org/expressions is the website. Yeah. You know, one other thing that we want to talk about was the opening reception when that takes place.
Oh, we are also excited this year that our opening reception will take place in the Crossroads at the Rochester Brewery and Roastery. They are located, I believe, 21st and Washington in that area. So we are looking forward to that, definitely.
Yeah, so that, wow, that's going to be in March. Which, you know, it's going to be here before you know it.
Before we know it, yes. We are looking for volunteers for opening night, too. So anyone who is interested, please contact the whole person.
You know, would you be looking for volunteers just in general throughout the year with other events and other jobs?
The whole person is always looking for volunteers, yeah. And interns, yes.
Yeah. Well, this is exciting because Expressions is a year-long traveling art exhibition. The opening reception will be held Friday, March 6th, 2020, at the Rochester Brewing and Roasting Company. Wow. What a great opportunity. Yeah. So, let's see. What else did we miss anything? What, when people submit the work, How will they do that? JPEG files or?
Yes. So on the application, it is an online application. There is an area to upload images, and the explicit directions are located on the application. Okay. I think we have a certain level of pixels that the images have to be and that kind of thing. But again, if anyone has questions, we're happy to help anyone who needs any help filling out the application and uploading images.
How many images are they allowed to?
Up to three.
Okay.
Yes.
So could it be, and I'm just asking questions because, that's what I do. I mean, could it be a mixture of, let's say, I have some digital, I have some jewelry, and I have spoken word? Could it be three different disciplines?
Yes, that is okay. Completely fine. And I believe that the limit for the number of images that we ask is three. So three different works of art, and I believe you can send up to three images of each work of art as well.
Now, if I also realize that you have you want artists to provide an artist statement.
Yes.
So often, a lot of artists kind of get stuck. Like, wow, I don't know what to write. Can you assist them with that?
We can. Do you want me to mention that right now?
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think for the purposes of our application, an artist statement should include, who their influences are, what it is that they have created, how their artwork was influenced, or who influenced their artwork, and what their goals and reasons for that specific piece are. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's a genre that they're working in. If they're doing a series, what were the goals for that series?
Mm-hmm. Just kind of a general introduction of their mm-hmm. work, what inspired them, or their theme, or that.
Yes. Uh-huh. And it can be one or two sentences. Uh-huh. It does not have to be long. But I think I mentioned that one of our workshops coming up in the next year will be about writing an artist statement. So
writing
a little bit longer artist statement to go with their with their works.
And I understand that application assistance is available by appointment, and that would be through Ashley?
Through Ashley.
Okay.
Yes.
And I have a number of 816-214-9729, and I think that may be on the ArtSpeak Radio website. The Facebook event page. But what other social media platforms can people find your information at?
Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, I do want to caution, though, that incomplete application information may exclude an artist from consideration. So you want to make sure that you got all your ducks in a row, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I just want to switch back to you, Poppy. As far as you're concerned, you have a master's degree in art history with the University of St. Thomas in 2012, and so you come to the whole person as the chair of Expression Art. Who are some other members of this?
Of the Expressions Committee?
Yeah, Expressions Committee, uh-huh.
So I am also currently working on my PhD in art history at UMKC, and I came through Expressions via a larger project that I was working on the outside. I do some art curation, mm-hmm. and I also co-own a business, D2 Research, where we do arts collection management. But it's through meeting some of the people through the two things that I do that I have built the committee. And so some of them are students from UMKC. Some of them are people that I have met who do curation in the Kansas City area. But So artists, local artists, shall I drop names?
You can, yes. People love to hear their name on radio.
So Megan Dohan is my business partner, but she's also working on her PhD at UMKC. Colin Mosley is receiving his MA in studio art from UMKC. CJ Charbonneau, she does a lot of writing on art in the Kansas City area.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Who else? Linda Link is a local photographer and also working on our MA in art history at UMKC. So that's who we have.
That's a pretty
just
good...
Just a small number of the people that we have on the committee. But they're all amazing and put 100% into helping organize the call for art. The they help with all of our installations and deinstallations of the exhibitions.
That's great.
At the different galleries and
it's
institutions.
It's a lot of work.
It is. But it's a wonderful thing, not only for the community, but for artists. And artists who do not... usually have the means to get into an art gallery or somewhere else. So it's really a wonderful program. Very happy to be a part of it.
Is there anything that we left off that we failed to mention, Poppy, that our listeners should know about?
I don't think so. Please come visit the exhibitions. Our next one, it's in the middle of being deinstalled right now and reinstalled at the Johnson County Arts and Heritage Center, and that will open mid-December and close at the end of January. And then our final exhibition will be held at the Epstein Gallery from February to the end of March.
Very good.
Yes.
Poppy DeCandelero, the chairman of Expressions, the 10th Annual Expressions Art Exhibit, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us. See, it wasn't half bad.
Thank you. No, it wasn't. Thank you very much, Maria.
You bet. Hey, we're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after these messages.
KKFI is launching a year-end fundraising campaign to match $17,500 from a generous donor towards expanding our on-air production, podcasting, and educational capabilities with two upgraded studios. We want to better serve the community with more and better live performances, group training, and classes. Help us make this match with a donation at www.kkfi.org/donate or by calling 888-931-0901. And thank you.
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Quick update on our year-end campaign. We are at $10,100 donated so far. That's 58% of our goal. Dial 888-931-0901 or visit kkfi.org to help us get those matching dollars.
Hey, and this is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, back from break, and I'm going to tell you about our next guest that we have in the studio. That would be Sarah Beck and Bridget Kammer with Human Kindness, Love Knows No Borders. And they're going to talk about an upcoming event that's taking place actually tomorrow, December 12th, from 6 to 10 at the Rhino at 314 Armour Road. First, we're going to find out about, their organization. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Human Kindness, Love Knows No Borders. And that's brought to you by the organization Border Kindness. And what is that?
That's right. So Border Kindness is an organization that's based out of Calexico, Mexicali border, down in California, Mexico border. They work very closely with migrants and refugees. They respond to their immediate needs down there at the border. So things like food, personal care items, clothing, shoes, legal services through legal aid. They also do some with emergency medical care. But they launched last year, November 2018, and they've been down there kind of helping all of those vulnerable communities down in that area.
Wow. And Sarah? Oh, Bridget, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm getting you mixed up. Sarah Beck, you're also with the group, right?
Yes. Bridget and I have planned this fundraiser along with our friend Tammy Herzig. And, yeah, we're thrilled to raise money for Border Kindness and put on a really important event. Yeah, we're excited about it.
I love that, that it says, come together with us as we raise funds and awareness for the organization Border Kindness. So it sounds like it's going to be a great evening of music and food and cocktails, right?
Yeah. Yes, all of the things. Uh-huh. So it's going to be tomorrow night. Like you said, it's going to be at the Rhino in North Kansas City. We're going to have a little bit of everything. So we'll have a silent auction. We'll have a raffle going. We have two bands that are going to come and play. One of them, Mariachi Oro de Mexico from Kansas City, and Mundo Nuevo. They're an 11-piece salsa orchestra band. So come and dance, and they'll be there to kind of lift our spirits and as we kind of raise awareness and do good things for people in need.
Now, how did you both get involved with the group? I mean, is this something that happened along the way, or were you set out to work with social justice in that area?
So, Bridget and I call her Gigi. We actually took a road trip together probably about 5 years ago, and we were just appalled by the things going on around the world, and we wanted to do something about it instead of sitting on our couches and shedding a tear while we were watching the news. We decided that we could do something about it, and so just the two of us, and now along with Tammy, we have decided that we can put something together, and maybe our fundraisers are, this is our third one together. And all of them have been from the heart, and where we have done it so we can keep our costs so low that so that 100% of the proceeds will go to this nonprofit. Tomorrow, 100% of what we will raise will go to Border Kindness.
And Border Kindness has been around for
about a year. They started in November of 2017.
Is it gaining some momentum? Are you finding that people are really wanting to help or become a part of your organization?
Yeah, it's been actually really exciting as it's gone on. We've had people reaching out to us and, you know, asking to donate, actually coming on this radio show. It's been, you know, just people reaching out and really wanting to participate. We're getting a lot of feedback about, you know, how else can we help? What can we do if we can't attend? And so it's been really uplifting to have just a community of people come around us, people that we don't know. And that's a first for us in kind of the endeavors that we've taken on in the past. It's always been, you know, friends and family. And now it's become this citywide. We've had donations come in from people all over Kansas City. It's been fantastic.
Great. Border Kindness provides a solution for refugees and for the people and organizations that work tirelessly to help them. You provide migrants, refugees, and displaced with comprehensive services that include food, shelter, clothing, medical care, and legal services. Your program serves quite a large population of people, and then when you come together with this organization and then find that other people are willing to help, that's got to be somewhat satisfying, right?
Oh yeah. It's so uplifting, and it's really a great a topic that can tend to create a rift or a divide sometimes between people. It's been amazing to kind of create an environment where we look at it as more of a humanities issue than a divisive issue. And so that's kind of where we're coming at it from as well. And I think that people see it that way too, as we kind of show that what we're doing is really kind of using what we have to create, what's that saying, create a longer table, to include people. So
great. Now, if people are interested in finding out more about Border Kindness, about your organization, where would they find you?
Sure. We are, if you would like for more information about the event, the Human Kindness Love Knows No Border event tomorrow night at the Rhino, the best place would be to look at the rhinokc.com. That's the venue's website. We also have an Instagram account, and it's at humankind__ness, N-E-S-S. Those are two great places to kind of look for more information about the event. In general, if you want more information about border kindness, you can look at borderkindness.org and find all the information on the organization there.
You know, don't go away, because I've got to air another little ditty here on the radio. But we'll be right back with Bridget Kammer and Sarah Beck. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two, two takes in a movie currently playing in the Kansas City area. And today the topic is a whodunit from Rian Johnson, and it's called Knives Out.
For all you mystery fans and lovers of crime, you will like this dark family get-together for the reading of a will, and there's a murder. It's funny.
Yes, this is a very tongue-in-cheek approach to this material, and, you know, this is a situation where who done it matters a lot less than why did they do it.
Yes.
And this is a very dark tale about family dynamics and backstabbing and backbiting, and, as you said, maybe murder, or could it be suicide? This is one of the mysteries that has to be resolved. Daniel Craig plays a detective who is assigned to figure out what the heck is going on, but he doesn't know who's hired him, and that's part of the mystery.
Plus, he has a lousy southern accent.
Maybe so.
But he reminded me that this whole production was similar to the Agatha Christie films back in the 60s, where they had Miss Marple. They always had a murder mystery, and she would come in. Daniel Craig is her counterpart, because he's this comical but shrewd kind of person who gets to the crux of everything.
Yeah, and this is an all-star cast. It also includes Jamie Lee Curtis and Chris Evans and a number of other stars. But the real star of this film is Ana de Armas, who plays the caretaker for the man who dies, and she steals the movie.
I agree with you entirely. It was an interesting story and a crowd pleaser.
Nasty fun. If you like it, you may want to check out a couple of other movies by Rian Johnson, like Looper and Brick. Both very good examples of his work. I'm Russ Simmons.
And I'm Susan Sanders.
And this is Take Two.
And this is Art Speak Radio. Hey, I'm going to say happy birthday to Chad Brothers, our chief engineer operator guy. It's his birthday, so if you see him today, I'll give him a big old smooch on the face. He does so much for this station, and we're very, very happy to have them around. We're also happy to have around Sarah Beck and Bridget Kammer. They're talking about human kindness. Love knows no borders. And they're with the Border Kindness Organization. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
You bet. You know, and we want to give a shout-out to Teresa Dirks, because she's our good friend. And she said, hey, Maria, you should have these women on the show to talk about this event. You know, and that's what community radio is about, you know. I may not see and know everything, but, you know, it's good to know that people have their eye open and, you know, they're looking out for each other in terms of this is a good opportunity or event that you might want to air. So, yeah, really happy to have this. So this takes place tomorrow. And, again, tell us what it's about.
Yeah, so it takes place tomorrow at the Rhino in North Kansas City. We will have a couple of bands playing. We're going to have a cocktail hour, more like a champagne hour. there will be a silent auction. There will be a raffle. 100% of our proceeds, because of donations, whether through in-kind donations or the venue, the bands, everybody has been super supportive. And so because of that, 100% of the donations and proceeds do go directly to Border Kindness.
You know, and Border Kindness provides a solution for refugees and the people and the organizations that work tirelessly to help them. So we're really
know, happy to be a part of that, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. Again, this is at the Rhino at 314 Armour Road, North Kansas City. And there are tickets for this event that you can find more information at the website.
Yeah, you can go to therhinokc.com. And they have our Eventbrite on there. You can buy tickets directly from their website.
And this is your third event for Border Kindness?
So it's actually our first event for Border Kindness. Okay. Our past two events, one other one has dealt with refugees, but directly here in Kansas City. We worked with an organization here in Kansas City to deal, to raise funds for that. And then we did our other event,
which was raising products and awareness around feminine products for women in need.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Period packing party.
Period packing party. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, during the break, we talked a little bit about certainly there are some needs here in the community for, you know, refugees and all that. And your organization helps get those whatever.
Yes.
You need to these people. What is it that you need mostly?
Yeah, so right now, especially because it is the holiday season, there are lots of children at the border that have been displaced and in places where celebrating the holidays in their own way is a little difficult. So a big push right now for donating toys and things like that. We have an Amazon page, an Amazon wish list that you can access at borderkindness.org, and that is available there if you feel like donating through there. And also just always other things, personal care items are always a big thing, blankets, shoes, basic necessities that are always needed.
And where can people bring those items?
So you can bring them to the event tomorrow. You are more than welcome mm-hmm. to do that. And also, if you look at our Instagram account, at humankind_ness, N-E-S-S, it has more information there on where you can donate.
You know, and I think it's sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, if you're staying at a hotel out of town, sometimes just grabbing the extra little
yes.
shampoo, conditioner, and the bars of soap. You know, it doesn't always mean, you know, a great amount of money that comes out of your pocket to help people.
Absolutely. You know? Yep. And gently used items and coats and things. I know with little ones, you know, a coat goes one season and then, you know, it's ready to donate. And so if you have those gently used children's coats, items, things like that to pass on, to pay forward, those are also welcome.
Yeah, go ahead.
And another thing we wanted to talk about was the awesome items that we have for raffle and also silent auction.
Yes, yeah. Please.
Yeah.
Get everyone
yeah, so tomorrow at the event, we will be having a silent auction and a raffle going as well. We've had artists from all over the Kansas City area donate paintings. So Teresa Dirks, who we mentioned earlier, she donated a couple of her original works framed. We have, and she also worked with several of our children to create paintings that will be in the raffle. So the kids created art for support. So those will be available for raffle. Jill Oliver, she donated another piece of art, a charcoal work on paper. We have Cody Beck also did some artwork for us. And then our raffle donations. So today, actually, we were given a couple of tickets to a New Year's Eve bash making movies, the band. They're going to have a great New Year's Eve bash, and they donated some. We have Chiefs tickets for auction, so lots
of
great
stuff.
For everyone. Lots of great stuff.
And making movies, I think they're going to be at the Truman, right?
That's
for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, great. Again, let's say that this event is tomorrow. Human Kindness, Love Knows No Borders at the Rhino, 314 Armour Road, North Kansas City, from 6 to 10 p.m. Tickets for this event are through Eventbrite, which can be seen on your website or social media, Instagram, and all of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Is there anything else that that we failed to mention that you wanted to bring to our attention?
No, I think that's it. We're really excited. We're super ready to get this event going. We're ready to dance the night away and raise some good money and funds for the organization.
Terrific.
Absolutely.
Well, it was a pleasure to meet you, Sarah and Bridgette. Thank you so much for coming in. And, we'll see you again next time. And much luck on this terrific event.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. We're going to be right back. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Ebony's Bones is a kitchen table conversation that explores the souls of Black folk as we decolonize and question everything that we've been told to believe. Tune in this Thursday, December 12th at 7 p.m. and have a seat at the table.
Are you a jazz lover, or maybe you don't know where to start? Either way, KKFI is your home for a curated introduction and a deep dive into the best classic and modern jazz. Tune in every weekday, 1 to 3 p.m. for a jazz afternoon, hosted by knowledgeable and active members of the jazz community. That's Jazz Afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. on 90.1 FM and KKFI.org.
Vasquez Boyd, you're listening to Art Speak Radio, and that's a little bit of Akhenaten. I'm kind of obsessed with that opera right now, but right now I should tell you I'm very obsessed with Milking Christmas. Yay! Because we have Rusty Snary here and Shauna Jernigan, and they're going to talk about Milking Christmas, which returns to the Living Room Theater. Yeah, right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about Milking Christmas, and welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Milking Christmas is running right now through December 23rd, and this is its third year at the Living Room, developed here in Kansas City by Kansas City writers and Kansas City artists, which is the Living Room's mission, is to entirely dedicate itself to Kansas City artists so that those artists stay right here in Kansas City and continue to help the culture of Kansas City grow. So this is a great example of that.
But, you know, the space has been used not only for the Living Room's past seven seasons, but also housed the KC Fringe shows, stage readings, concerts, private parties, and weddings, right? It's been something for everybody.
Right. And I think that might be outdated. We're actually in our 10th season, so.
You're right.
Season 10. But, yeah, we've housed a lot of other smaller theater companies and larger theater companies alike in Kansas City and a lot of different events. It's a great space.
Yeah, so tell us about Milking Christmas. What are we going to find? What's it about? What's the premise?
I've been thinking about that. Like, how do you sum this up? Because we have, you know, our little blurb about it with the Macy Maiden Milking is the only person in this Christmas town that thinks things aren't right. Because it's just, it's this particular little world that they created that's about as provincial as it gets, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's so happy. And really, just like, it's even in the lyrics of one of the first songs that nothing can be wrong in our happy little town because nothing ever is.
Nothing ever is.
So,
but then they start to notice some really strange things happening, and maybe this Santa guy isn't what he appears to be, and there might be some things going on behind the curtain. And so there, a kind of exploration into that begins to kind of uncover what's really, really happening in Christmastown. And the really the whole point of it and the whole story is drives to what the true meaning of Christmas should be about and what should bring people together. And it's more about the joy and loving each other and giving to each other than it is about, you know, one idea or belief that people are coming together to celebrate.
Hey, let's talk about who's in the cast. Who are we going to see on stage?
Well, it's a lot of, we've kept a lot of the same cast, which is great because they just are completely on fire this year because they've gotten into their characters so deeply. We have Elise Paling is our hero, Macy Maiden Milking, which is funny because they chose that as, you know, in the song. There's just this bevy of, you know, people who are just in numbers. So in the beginning, they're like, shouldn't you be milking? When she's like looking into what's going on in this town and trying to spark up attention. And she's just Elise's
dynamite. She's one of
dynamite.
The eight maids of milking the writers have created and plugged in all these typical traditional characters of Christmas lore. Drummers drumming, pipers piping.
And then we have Bob Linebarger for our Santa Claus. Anjali Gavin for, and this is his third time, Anjali Gavin as Mrs. Claus for the second time. We have Kyle Dick as Chris Claus, their kind of fussy, hipster, angsty son who will be
he just wants
up
to leave
be Santa.
Christmas Town and be a snowboarder.
Yeah. He wears the guy liner and stomps around a lot and is not happy about having to be Santa one day. And we have Joshua Gleason as several. That's the thing, is there's eight adults and three children, and they play, I don't know, it's almost like 20 different roles.
Yeah, there's like 40-plus characters in this show that are, yeah, played by under a dozen actors.
Wow. And they do just these lightning-fast costume changes that are just comical. Like, we have one where one of the youth cast runs on just like halfway into her costume and just keeps performing because it's worth it. So, yeah, some of them play several. Like, there's this character called Krumpschnickel, which is completely fictional, like most of them are. And he plays a mole and then other ensemble characters. So it's fun to watch. I think some people kind of lose track of how many ways they're seeing each actor.
For sure. And then there's Mike Ott and Nellie Maple and R.H. Wilhoit that round out the adult cast, and they're all fantastic. And then our youth ensemble this year are just terrific, terrific youth members that you will see in this city or bigger cities, I'm sure, in the future. Margaret Veglin, Casey Crockett, and Carwin Cooper. And all this cast has been directed by the one and only Missy Koontz, who has been responsible for the development of a lot of original musicals here in Kansas City and a lot of published, produced musicals. She's a star.
Well, that's terrific. I know that Milking Christmas, well, it premiered in 2017 to a sold-out performances and critical acclaim, right?
It did.
And it quickly became the Living Room Theater's highest-selling show ever. Congratulations. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone. I mean, it's the one show I think we do all year that there's nothing in it that would keep people away. It's easily the most accessible show that we do. It's family
kids
friendly.
Specifically, yeah.
The smaller the kids are, the more you might want to prepare for a conversation about Santa Claus. But other than that, it's game for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and the performances are going on right now through December 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for more information, ticket prices and all that, websites would be
thelivingroomkc.com. And tonight and tomorrow night's performances, which are both at 8 o'clock, are pay what you can. So if you've got
talked about that.
Yeah, so the general ticket price is $35 tonight.
Sorry. Yeah.
You didn't get the spiel.
Yes.
Don't listen to that.
So anyway, the information is at thelivingroomkc.com. Yeah. So tonight's performance, and it runs through December 23rd. Performances start at 8?
Yes. Yeah. 8 o'clock, and then there are some 3 o'clock matinees on the weekends.
Okay, great. Great. Wow. This is like the third year? No, the second year that this is...
Third year.
Okay, yeah, wow. So this is written by the team behind the musical, hit musical, The Ballad of Lefty and Crab, and directed by Missy Coons.
Yeah, it's Friend Dog Studios and Ryan McCall are the writers. And if you haven't gone down the Friend Dog Studio rabbit hole, definitely do that.
Yeah,
very funny, guys.
So what else do you have coming up beyond this? Or is this just kind of what you're going to focus on for the... So the end of December.
We have one show left of our 10th season, and at our current space, 1818 McGee, in the Crossroads. Our next... Should I talk about the next show? Our final show at the space is Cultural Cannibals by Ron Simonian. Very different than this one. Not for kids.
But another local work, which is... our mission is, we just produce local writers, and Ron Simonian is one of the best local playwrights in town.
How do you find your local writers?
A myriad of ways. Uh-huh. We have playwriting classes, which we've discovered some really amazing writers through in the last few years, and then we have a Writer's Den series, which is primarily focused on the development of new plays, which we do stage readings and such, and we discover a lot of really wonderful talent through that.
Wow, great. Yeah, so Milking Christmas going on now through the 23rd of December.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. So you all have been in theater for a very long time, or?
A very long time, yeah. Yeah. We've been producing for the last 10 years here in Kansas City, but have been involved in a myriad of other ways for years.
Wow. Yeah. So what... what do you prepare your audience for when they come to any of your presentations? I mean, are they kind of, do they push the envelope? Do they sort of, you know, take any sort of, let me tell you a little bit what you're going to see. I mean, do they have to be kind of forewarned in a sense? Are they sort of more adult-based?
They are usually, It's kind of more adult themes. Which it's kind of hard. I feel like we've used the term rated R before, which someone was like, why? And I'm like, well, just, it's maybe not R, but at least PG-13. Or, you know, people will ask, can my kid come? And we say it depends on your relationship with your kid, you know, probably 13 and up or something, if there's cursing or adult themes or, you know, that kind of thing. But generally it's this, they're usually thinking pieces, maybe about current themes or...
We like them to be conversation starters, to provoke conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always should be the drive of any live theater experience is, you know, the conversation in the car ride home, and we try to program based on that. This play, Milking Christmas, again, is not PG-13. Okay. It is good for the whole family, but oftentimes it's... But I think we really drive it, being kind of pushing the envelope, being provocative, but also an intimacy that... we have that a lot of larger theaters don't. We have,
We seat
80 people, so the actors are right there. It's like watching them in your living room, except it's our living room.
Well, and I want to ask you about that, the living room itself. Is it going to stay in Crossroads? Because I thought I read or
is anything going to stay in Crossroads?
Well, you know, you never know, right?
Yeah, it's booming.
It is really, you know, sort of taken off in a way that is maybe not so... great for creative people, artists, and that can't afford to be in the Crossroads.
It's the story of every major city, really, kind of where the artists settle and then kind of get pushed to the periphery. I'm glad that it's developing. That's wonderful. Yeah. But we don't have a plan as such, so we'll still have a website.
And
if you're on
that.
Our mailing list or anything, you
website,
can keep track of us.
Social media, whatever you have, you can...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah. Terrific. You know, we're going to take a real quick break, and then we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio. Hold on.
Pure, that's what
child is free of life's nonsense, sacred and pure. Children are free, emotion flowing, no fear in knowing they're safe and secure. They don't see all the hurt and all the pain we faced upon each other. But there was a time back in our memory.
And this is ArtSpeak Radio, and we're back. Hello. That is Kevin Mahogany, our beloved Kevin Mahogany, who passed away, I believe, last year. So just wanted to play a little snippet of his work. I want to mention that I did get a nice little postcard from Paula Hauser-Leffel, who will have a show of her work. Artist Reception is taking place this Friday. This Friday is December 13th. That's Paintings in Oil, Form, Color, and Light. That's going to be at HJ's Youth and Community Center at Outreach of St. Andrew's Episcopal Church, 6425 Warnell. So just want to mention that before I got back to business. So again, I want to say thank you to Shauna Jernigan and Rusty Sneri. We're talking about Milking Christmas. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, during the break, I asked if there's anything else that we failed to mention, and you talked about maybe some rehearsal space, some space.
Well, just kind of addressing that. I know there's been a lot of questions when we announced that we had 1 year left. There was a lot of misunderstandings of that we were just already closed. So we just wanted to clarify that we're very much open until May, and we are looking for a place to transition into, even if it is just, you know, something for rehearsal space.
I've got a garage, lady.
No, all right.
Garage theater.
Garage theater.
You know,
edgy.
Do you have, what would be your on your wish list of where the location and the space is?
Oh, wish list.
I mean, it would be great to stay.
I mean, I can't help you with that, but you know, it's just always interesting to ask.
I mean, you know, it's just that it needs to be somewhat practical and safe, and so that our patrons could feel good coming there at night, and, you know, that there would be adequate parking kind of thing. You know, we've mostly had to look a little outside of where we have been, and we worry that some of our regular patrons who don't actually live in the city that come from the suburbs might be uncomfortable mm-hmm. if we're not in a more central location.
Yeah, the arts and theater especially, I think, have a challenge already in getting people from the suburbs and to come to the city and attend live theater. And
they were afraid of the crossroads at first when we opened, and
so
now
location is pretty key to continue that and get people. So, you know, a lot of people have suggested, like, well, why don't you go here? Why don't you go here? And, like, we definitely would like to stay in the city as centrally located as possible.
And so, have to be able to afford it. We are a nonprofit, a 501c3 nonprofit, so we, you know, can't afford any more than what we're paying now. So
I hear you.
But there's a lot of exciting development happening in the city, which is exciting. But, you know, a lot of times developers can lean on a little 501c3 for unused space within a development that kind of helps everyone out.
Mm-hmm. So, write off a little artist business.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, you know, and I'll just throw this out there. Last week I talked to folks from the Pendleton Arts Block, and they have some artists in residency.
Yeah.
So you know, I think the city is beginning to understand that everyone needs a space here or there or whatever your discipline is.
We need to cohabitate. So, development is great, but we have to keep room for the arts too.
What about the Arts Asylum? Are they still functioning? I haven't been there in
Absolutely.
A while, but
they're thriving.
Yeah.
They're developing their performance space.
And that's a great building.
It is a great building.
Yeah, they're
great
friends.
People.
They're great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Rusty Sneri and Shauna Jernigan. We kind of got off the subject. We're talking about Milking Christmas, and that is a performance that can be found at the Living Room Theater currently going on right now.
Yeah, come on down and see it.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's weird and just it's unconventional.
It is not your traditional A Christmas Carol, which is running currently as well, that I just came from, which is a family tradition for many. This has become another family tradition for many. It's a little offbeat.
Pretty cool.
A lot more comedy. And it
it's
is
not
just
your
there's
sugar
something
plum
for
fairy.
No, and you don't have to worry about, you know, again, like you know, believing in anything particular other than joy and loving each other and
just
laughter.
Believe in comedy.
That's right.
Well, and you know, I think, you know, when you attend a live performance, whether it's theater, music, or opera, or whatever, mm-hmm. It just transforms you. It's just kind of, you're in a different space, and that feels good for a while.
It absolutely
it does. And the talent in this cast is just, they're all dynamite. It's their voices. They're
seasoned.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, the music's great. It's original, but it's kind of a mashup of, you know, public domain Christmas songs mixed with new lyrics and themes.
Yeah. You'll recognize a lot of familiar tunes.
Which is fun, so you still get that Christmassy, you know, sound.
But it's definitely a wonderful outlet, especially these days. There are not enough opportunities for us to just have a good old hearty laugh, and especially one that, you know, sustains for 2 hours. So be a wonderful break from all the stuff that
surrender yourself to the nonsense goofiness of it, too. Like.
I love it. Well, I want to thank you so much, Rusty Snary and Shauna Jernigan. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thanks for having us.
Milking Christmas. Xmas, whatever it is. Yeah. So, you know what? Next week is going to be, December something, and we'll have Jason Mavoni with us here in the studio live. Also, one of our other DJs, Casey, he will be here, and I have Molly Hammer tapped to appear. We're going to do a segment of The Stage Is Your Symbol, and it's something that I sort of thought about. You know, I would love to hear the stories from musicians and performers and people that are on stage. I want to hear a story from the backstage. I want to hear the backstory of, you know, their performance, or maybe meeting a fan, or something that was profound or funny or life-changing, or just kind of like, wow, I didn't see that coming. So I just kind of want to get their version of a snapshot from behind the stage, whatever that looks like. So I hope you're going to enjoy that, because I know I'm looking forward to it. Again, we have Jason Vivoni and Casey, both DJs right here at 90.1 FM KKFI. And so they're going to be here. And I want to tell you, I'm just so happy to have you around, and, you know, having us in years for an hour. We love that. Our seventh year of ArtSpeak Radio. So we're going to go out, and I want to thank you all for listening. Honey, I'm coming home. Stay tuned for Jazz Afternoon, following ArtSpeak Radio.